Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef, where we talk about food and fun. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Janice. How are you today?
I'm great.
My name is Kelly Taylor. I'm a certified natural gourmet chef and an instructor.
And I'm Janice Escott, certified cordon bleu chef and instructor. And Kelly has a very special truffle quote for us today.
All right, so this is from Bryan Cranston, who I'm assuming is some kind of an actor. But here's the quote. When actors first come up, you're auditioning for everything. You're trying to sniff it out like a pig with a truffle, and you would do anything.
Perfect for today. Today we are introducing foodie famous entrepreneur, Susan Alexander. Susan is CEO and president of Black Diamond French Truffles Incorporated and Susan Alexander Truffle Products. Since 2006, Susan has been developing the largest commercial truffle orchard in America. The truffelier grows and harvests the Black Diamond French Perigord truffle, the most sought-after truffle in France. We met with Susan at her truffle orchard near Pinehurst, and we started the tour at her restored tobacco barn.
There are more truffle producers now in North Carolina?
I would say that there probably are nationwide about 600 to 700 truffle orchards. Okay. In North Carolina, I would guesstimate there are probably 50 orchards.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah. Now, some of those aren't going to be known because people don't like you to know they're growing truffles, you know, and it's just like over in Europe. And actually, the mafia is involved in Europe. Truffles are a big deal. The hunters will have certain patches that they go to every year, and they'll find truffles there, and they're afraid that poachers will come.
Yes.
So, yeah. So the cartel over there actually names the price every year. I have good contacts over in Spain. And so every year they're naming the price for truffles, and each week it changes. Mm-hmm. So you can't really quote, because if you're selling truffles from Europe, which I also do, then it might be $500 this week and go to $750 the next week. So you just don't know. Depends on how much they're paying their hunters, and if the hunters are bringing the truffles in then. Because sometimes they'll wait.
Why are they for the price?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
How fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So for really our listeners, tell them about what it means when you say 500 to 750.
Okay.
What
is the 500 to 750 a pound. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so listeners will know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, which is why culinary students aren't playing with them.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, retail, they go for 1,200 to 1,500 a pound. And then the white, you're talking probably 2,000 a pound. Mm. Now, the white truffles grow in Alba in Italy. Okay, specific place. Their soil's a lot different. It has air pockets in it. Mm. There's not any place else in the world that has that.
Mm.
So unless we could bring the soil or, you know, reproduce the soil somehow, I don't see white Italian truffles growing here. But we are trying. We're trying anyway. So
what is the difference between the white and the black as far as flavor or
Yeah, the white is much more garlicky. Okay. Actually, you know, it's the most sought after in the world, but I really love the French Perigord truffle more. It's not as light. It's deeper. It's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like having a little lighter wine compared to a deep, you know, Cabernet or Bordeaux or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their specific uses. I mean, like a white truffle would use more with lobster. And you know, some a cream sauce or something like that. The black truffle you can use on meats, red sauces, and you can do pasta and things like that too. But I think the white kind of beats it in that area. So it just depends on what you're going to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My experience with truffles was a few years ago when I was in Italy and I went to a very small restaurant. It was truffle
season. Did you?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. It was by myself.
Right.
And had shaved truffles on homemade pasta in a very small restaurant in Italy.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Did they shave it in front of you?
When you walked in the front door, mm-hmm. you could smell the truffles as you walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
and it was amazing. No, they mixed it in with the pasta, and then they just did one little quick shave of it.
Oh, okay.
And they brought it to the table.
Yeah, I went. Last time I went, I was in Italy. I tried to purchase their truffle shaver. Okay, and I said, "Oh, I would like this for a memory. Could I buy it, please?" "Oh, you can't buy it." And I mean, it was probably $20. And I said, "Well, how about $100? I'll give you $100 for it. We're not selling it. You could give us $1,000. This is our truffle shaver." And I'm just like, "Okay." But it was wonderful what they did. But it was still $100 just to have the truffle shaved on the pasta. Yeah.
Did they make their truffle shaver? Was it like a homemade, passed down in the family truffle shaver? Like, why is it so...
It was like this, you know, it's something you buy. Yeah. at a local store.
That is so
hilarious. He even said you can go get it for like $10 down the street. You know, why do you want this one? And I thought it was so funny because he was very possessive of the truffle shaver. You know, so I wasn't going to get it.
Well, that's all right. Did you go down the street and get a truffle shaver?
I never did. Oh. No, I wanted that one. So I thought, I'll just import them and sell them maybe. I like them so much.
Yes, a fancy Italian truffle shaver.
There you go. Yes, that's right.
Hey, it would work. It would definitely work.
Exactly.
I'm really curious. So why truffles? Like, why did you start in truffles?
Okay. I started in truffles because I bought a piece of land locally here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had 3 deaths in my family. My mother died, my bulldog died, and one of my best friends was fatally injured. So, all within 3 weeks. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, oh, this is depressing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like to be depressed. This is depressing. So my friend who's a realtor said, "I've got a piece of property I want you to look at," because I did timbering. And I said, "Look, I don't really feel like going anywhere right now." She said, "Come with me. I'll buy you lunch. I want you to see it. You won't get it again. It's going to be gone. You know, I'm going to list it." I think she was going to list it in about a week. So I came, and I'll show you where the lake is when we go. Harriet Morris, and she since has passed away, she was out here by herself, and there was this huge lake and all this land. And I said, "Okay, so which part is for sale?" And she said, "The whole thing." And I said, "No way." And she said, "Yeah." And it was beautiful. And somehow it was spiritual with the deaths and everything, and it just kind of called to me. And I thought, I've got to have this. And I usually don't do that. So I knew there was some timber. I told Harriet, I said, "There's some timber on the land, a lot of timber." And she said, "I don't care. There's 2 older ladies." And she said, "I don't want to pay them to cross their land." She said, "I have 2 nephews. I just want the cash for my property, and whatever you get is fine with me." So I did that. The timber paid for the land.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was kind of amazing.
That's really amazing.
Uh-huh.
Because how many acres do you have?
Well, that was 90 acres.
Okay.
And then it came about the neighbors would call me, and they'd have different parcels for sale. You know, "Oh, this lady over here will buy it." But, I mean, they're all really good, and they love to sell to good people. So I'd put all this land together, and I promised Harriet that I wouldn't develop it, build condos on it. Uh-huh. But it was just a verbal promise. You know, it wasn't anything in writing. So I kept thinking, okay, I've got almost 300 acres now. I've got to make some money with it. What am I going to do? So I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could grow truffles? Yeah. And that's how it all started. Went to France, called, you know, contacts, mycologist, checked at the universities, and just did everything I could. At first, I thought I'd grow maybe 5 to 10 acres. And then when I realized it hadn't been done here really on a big scale, on a big basis, I thought, why not? Why not have a commercial truffier? And so then it all started. And I mean, I just, you know, I learned the whole way. Lots of knocks and bumps, and but lots of learning and really good stuff happening.
I have to say, though, you said, "Well, why not grow truffle?" It wouldn't have been the first thing that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I want to grow something, truffles is such an interesting thing. I didn't even know until I started researching that you could grow truffles on a farm. I thought they had to just be found in the wild.
Right.
I didn't even know you could have an orchard.
Well, they've cultivated truffles now for like probably 70 years, even, you know, over in Europe. So that's what I found out later, though.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I did. I didn't know, but I just investigated, and I knew that I loved them. I would get them every year for Christmas. My family would get me truffles because I loved to cook with them. It was my favorite. So I thought if I could grow those, that would be phenomenal.
And it has been.
It has been phenomenal. It's been a lot more than I expected. And every day is new. I mean, it just doesn't quit. So then, while we were waiting on the truffles, I thought, well, I love to do cooking. I thought, I'll create some products. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's like, what does a truffle taste like? Mm-hmm. I couldn't afford to feed the world truffles, mm-mm, you know. So I made it on the popcorn on a fluke. I went to a commercial manufacturer and told them I'd like to try and do a recipe. I mean, mm-hmm, I didn't even know what film was that makes a popcorn bag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whole Foods ordered from me before I had my film made, which takes about 6 weeks.
Oh!
So I was very, very lucky. Yeah. So anyway, it's other people really motivate you by, you know, their desire and passion for truffles too. And it's good to share in it.
That's interesting, though. I would like to know, it takes, you were telling me before mm-hmm, we started our recording, you were telling me the length of time that it takes to get truffles made, mm-hmm, though. So 7 years is a long time to wait for your crop.
I mean, really,
it's a long time to have a turnaround
on
your...
It's very much so for a farmer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's an interesting choice.
Now, if you're growing grapes, it's about the same amount of time.
Yeah.
And if you're harvesting pine trees, you're going to wait 30 years. So, yeah. And I'm used to the timbering, so it didn't seem like it was that long to me.
Yeah.
But, it does take a long time. The thing that we do, though, is we use hazelnut trees first, okay? We don't plant those first, but we use those to get the truffle first. Because what will happen is they'll grow truffles in about 7 years. 7 to 9. Some people say 5, but it says 7 to 9. Mm. Then the oak trees that we plant, they'll live a lot longer than the hazelnut tree. The hazelnut tree will live about 25 years. The oak tree should live about 80, 90 years. But they don't produce a truffle usually until about 13 years, maybe even a little bit longer.
So when you say hazelnut, do you also have a hazelnut harvest?
Well, we do. We have miniature hazelnuts.
Oh.
So we haven't harvested too many of them, though, because we're afraid we're going to damage the roots on, mm-hmm, the tree. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't spent a lot of time doing it. But at some point, we will. Yeah, we just started getting nuts year before last. But because of the mycorrhiza on the root and the truffles growing, the hazelnuts are smaller. That's one way that you can tell if you're going to be producing truffles.
Mm.
So
the plant will take the energy,
mm-hmm,
that it would
takes
expend
the
on the fruit,
mm-hmm,
the,
mm-hmm,
nuts,
exactly,
and put it into the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I think it's interesting, the,
mm-hmm,
whole world of farming.
Right.
It's a tough world, though. It's a lot of work, and it's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think has been your... You said you've had a lot of challenges and surprises. What are some of the biggest challenges you've had just starting this farm?
I think that there just wasn't a lot of information,
mm-hmm,
about truffles, mm-hmm, and then you have to go by a lot of different beliefs, and it's kind of good because you have to form your own, but then sometimes if you do believe things, you kind of have to start over, and you have to look at it. So you've got a lot of failures, mm-hmm, before successes, but that's, you know, that's just your bumps along the road. You just keep going. So, but I think the thing is now we're all documenting, researching, developing. I even have a patent that I'll be doing for re-inoculation of trees, which I've worked with someone in Spain to develop. So, you know, just a lot of those things. But the whole thing, when you're trying to grow the truffle, it's very fickle. Mm-hmm. You think that it's going to be on a certain tree at a certain place and everything looks just right, but it may not fruit. You know, you may be waiting forever. So that's it. So you have to have some fruiting trees.
Mm-hmm. Even after inoculation, you may not.
Even after inoculation.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you have to be very careful about inoculation, too. You could get trees that aren't properly inoculated, and so you're out here waiting for truffles to produce, and you don't even have inoculum on the tree. So it's a really very good idea to get at least a certain amount of your tree's DNA tested. That's the only way you can tell. And actually over in France and in Europe, they have certain criteria. If they sell trees, okay, to consumers, that so many of those trees have to be tested. We don't have that yet. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not that anybody's doing that intentionally. It's just that it doesn't take, and then it's not checked, and then, you know, you end up just waiting on something that's not going to be there. Right.
So, talking about inoculation, are the trees inoculated before you plant them or after they are planted and have?
They are inoculated when they're little saplings, okay? And there's a lot of different ways that mycologists use to inoculate trees. Some will paint the root tips. Some will dip it in a solution. Some will use a slurry form that they grow it in. So it depends on who you're working with, what their technique is. And at this point, it's really all... there's not just one way to do it. Everybody's trying their best to figure out what's going to be the best way to grow it. I don't think anybody's come up with a way that's a surefire way yet. Okay, but I do think that truffles can grow here. It's up to the truffle right now if it's going to grow. But if you do all the things, right, it happens. So, yeah, it really is.
It's up to the truffle.
Some of them say, like over in Europe, they'll say it's where lightning strikes.
Ah.
I mean, they have the same thing, and they've been doing it for years and years. And then I have a lot of successful farmers that I talk to that are over in Spain, and they've got techniques that are really good that pretty much work. But it's like you just can't take every tree and you know it's going to grow trouble. And I think that's the challenge. That's what makes it kind of fun too.
So what's the percentage of, is there a percentage of how many you have, 10 trees, let's just say, and 8 of them will have truffles, or is it just all over the place?
Usually,
it just depends.
Out of an acre, you're going to get in about 10 years about 50 to 60 pounds of truffles, okay? So I would say you're looking at, hopefully you're going to have 2/3, okay? Mm-hmm. You could have half, you could have one, but yeah, hopefully you're going to get 2/3 of the trees.
And how, how much does this truffle weigh, this truffle we're looking at, which is about the size of a golf ball, kind of?
Would be about, this would be just a little over an ounce.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said how many pounds over the?
16, let's see. Okay, so we'd have about 60 pounds an acre. Okay.
Wow,
so
that's a lot of truffles. Don't make me do math.
Yeah.
A lot of truffles.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of trouble. Over in Australia, they started growing truffles just about, when did they plant their trees? They planted their trees about 15 or 16 years ago when the government got involved.
Oh.
Okay? They are growing, they have some plantations, I think they call them, some plantations that are growing 100 to 150 acres a year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. This is like a whole new world. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Or 150 pounds per acre.
And how are their truffles different?
They're actually the same.
Oh.
They're the same. They're the European. They brought in the European species, the Black Diamond French Perigord truffle, and it's the same.
Huh.
Yeah. So they've got some good techniques going on. There's a lot of books out. Inhall is very famous. He started it there. He's the guru in Australia.
Yeah.
So I think their industry is really going to take off to the point that they may produce more than France soon.
Oh, my goodness.
That much.
I had no idea.
Do you see a future with this where the truffle will be less expensive and be more, the common person that cooks might be able to buy the truffles and eat them?
I think the common person will be able to use things, ingredients, so they can really get that truffle taste. There's a lot of tricks out there. As far as overproduction, not in our lifetime. Not for sure, telling you. It's just, maybe in 100 years. Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't think it would ever get to the point that it's just overproduced, unless someone figured out how to grow it in a greenhouse and just mass produce truffles. And then, you know what? Everybody would love them anyway. They'd all be gone. They only grow 3 months a year.
Oh.
So,
So what are the months of harvest?
The months of harvest will be end of December until mid-March.
We're almost there.
We're almost there. And it's dependent, too, on the weather. If the weather's a little bit colder, it's going to be a really good year. If it's warm, you probably wouldn't be quite as lucky. But I've even talked to some Frenchmen, if it's not cold there, what they do is they go out and they put ice cubes. Ice cubes in the orchard. Yeah.
That's a lot of ice cubes.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot. Yeah, it would be an enormous amount here. But typically in Europe, plantations are only one or two acres. They don't do commercial trophies like this.
So what about the climate in North Carolina that makes it conducive to the growing?
Mm-hmm. We have a great climate for that. We can grow grapes here. That's how you can tell if you can grow truffles. Mm. We've got a mild winter. We have a few freezes a year. If we have a snow, that's even better. Mm-hmm. In my area, I'm in the sand hills, but I have a lot of water, fortunately, to use for irrigation because it does take a lot of water to water the trees and to keep the truffle-like moisture. So, North Carolina is just the perfect climate, even as far up as the mountains, getting into the mountains too, it works up towards Winston-Salem, and that area is very good too. Now, since we have sand, we'll have very round truffles.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually highly graded. They actually grade truffles over in Europe.
Oh.
So that would be one of the highly graded, according to the shape, size, taste, and everything. So they have an entire grading system.
And how do they do that here? Do we grade them? Do you have yours graded? No?
No. I mean, we can grade them and say what they are compared to there, but there's no grading system. We don't even have a system yet that names the price of truffles here in the U.S., mm-hmm. So,
it's like the Wild West of truffles.
It is the Wild West.
No, seriously,
it's
all
pioneers.
Fascinating.
We're just gonna see what all we can find and what we can do. And so far, it's been very good.
That's interesting. You have how many acres again of just the truffle plants? So that's how
many of the truffle planted. Let's see, how many do I have now? I have 130 acres.
Of all planted?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All
planted. How many trees is that? Do you know?
Would be about 30,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen over time, I'm assuming?
Oh,
how do you plant 30,000 trees?
Over time.
That is a lot of
absolutely.
Trees.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because we've got about a third of the grounds planted. So, yeah.
And you just kind of continue to grow?
Yeah, and what we're going to what we're doing now is doing different varieties and experiments, and one of the universities getting involved in doing some plantings with us, so the students can come and study, and a lot of different things going on.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what maybe you can create a new North Carolina truffle.
Yeah.
I mean, who's to say we can't create something better that tastes. Like, very unique to this country.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Well, if it grows here, it probably will taste a little bit different, just like anything that you grow in different soil.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to be deliciously better, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And you're the largest truffle orchard in the country.
In the United States. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're actually second largest in the world.
Where's the other larger one?
It's in Arrats in Spain. It's the Arrats orchard in Spain. And they have been, in production for maybe, I want to say, 45 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you have just taken them by storm then. Because you've only been doing this for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Been doing it for 7 years.
Quite impressive.
Yeah. A couple years of research before that, but planting 7 years.
Did you have other businesses before this, or was this your first venture into the owning a business?
I did. I've always had my own businesses.
Yeah.
Always, yeah.
That's why you had the courage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Fortunately, that always comes natural for me.
Yeah.
I'm just lucky that way. I do like to have a business. I usually know, what to do and where I'm headed, and just if there's some difficulties, just go through it, and it's fine, and just get to the other side, and it's all sunny. it's really good.
Not everybody has that attitude.
It's a great attitude.
Yeah, well, that's it though. But that's the trick. You just got to get through that part of it, and then it's all fine.
Well, I would like to taste.
Yes,
I
let's
can't
do that.
Wait.
It's time to taste.
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to grate some of the truffle on here.
Well, it's not the Italian grater, so I don't know.
I know. What can I say? I wish I had it.
Okay.
So. Oh, my goodness. That's lovely.
Yeah. Okay, and then I'm going to add just... We'll have better technique at the house. In the kitchen. Okay. And so let me... Do we have some of the oil?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. The whole room...
Well, good.
The whole room is filling up with the fragrance of the truffles. They're being grated fresh right in front of our eyes on top of the tomato soup that's in a really pretty Christmas cup.
What you can do is put a little bit of popcorn in your the top of your soup, like you would a cracker.
Oh, we're gonna do that.
And try it. Yeah, I mean, you might like it. This is a popcorn that I produced a couple of... Well, I guess about 3 years ago now. It was in the top 10 snack foods in the Wall Street Journal for Super Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah. It's been served in the Broadway theaters, Napa, Whole Foods, and it just took off. But what I was trying to do was to give everybody a taste of truffle. Mm. Anyway.
Melody was telling us about a woman who orders popcorn every month.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Why?
Because of the Weight Watchers factor. Because we were featured in Weight Watchers. We were featured in Weight Watchers, and she swears by this, that this keeps her weight in line, because when she craves something, she eats the popcorn every single night before dinner, and that helps her with her appetite. So every month I get her monthly order, and we ship it out to her to California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She loves it.
It's high in fiber.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it really is. And so I mean, it is good.
A good This has been a 2-year relationship with her, I think.
Mm-hmm.
At least 2 good years.
Yeah. I do the same if I want to lose some weight, and actually my weight trainer, his wife did the same thing and said, can I please get some more popcorn for her, because she's finally losing weight. And I'm like, sure. So yeah, I think it we don't have anything proven about it, but it makes sense that it would happen, since it's fiber and popcorn, you know, and then you're full and you're probably not eating other things, and it is on Weight Watchers, so it's really healthy.
I think, though, when you eat it, just my take on that, is that it's really satisfying. Like, you know, there's all the flavors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you don't get all of the flavors, then you still want to reach for something else.
Right.
But it has all just a whole bunch of flavors. It's not like when you normally eat popcorn and it's either salty, like salty popcorn, or it's like a caramel popcorn. So it's really sweet.
Right.
But this has an umami, for lack of the chefy word.
Yeah.
But, you know, that earthy other sense that people really crave, that I think really satisfies you.
Yeah, it does.
And when you don't have that flavor, I think you start to eat more, more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus it has enough to fill you up for a little bit because it's popcorn.
Right.
It's great. Right. It's delicious. It's really good.
Okay.
It is truffly.
Mm-hmm.
It is very yummy.
it is
That's
truffly.
My official professional.
Thank you. Well, I think we'll add that to the bag. That's a good one.
Totally.
I like that.
Now it's gone.
So how do you find the truffle?
Okay.
You use animals, right?
You use animals. You use dogs. I actually have a Ligoto, which is a dog from Italy, was trained in Italy for 2 years, and that's the only breed that's really actually known as a truffle hunter breed or hunting breed. So Olivia is her name. She's really good. Curly blonde hair. So then I just have a new addition, and his name is Pepe Le Pew. Lover boy. Yeah.
Very fitting for truffles.
Very fitting. And it's amazing how he can find truffles. He's 4 months old. He's almost 45 pounds. He's going to be 100 pounds.
Wow.
But he's a sheepadoodle. And what is he? Yeah, he's a sheepadoodle. He's standard poodle and sheepdog. And, you know, the parents are like 90 and 100 pounds, so he's going to be big. And he's a sweetie. But he goes wild for truffles. In Olivia, with all of her training, he can do the same.
Huh.
So, makes you
he
wonder.
Was naturally, I mean, you didn't train him that way?
They naturally go to it. I would hide truffles in the house, you know, under pillows, under the bed, here and there, outside. And he goes and he finds them now. So when he comes out here, he looks. Yeah, he knows that we're looking for truffles. We'll say, where's the truffle? where's the truth? And he's all over the place. And then, of course, he gets a treat after. Yeah. So, but he likes to keep the truffle. She doesn't. So maybe that's where the train comes in.
Yeah, you need to get it away from him.
That's right. That's right. So that's a little harder.
And then pigs are used as well sometimes.
Pigs are used as well. We actually will go see Charlie and Miss Piggy that are here. And it's a little bit more difficult to take the pigs out. My pigs are huge now. And they definitely will go for the truffles, but they want to eat the truffles. And there's many a Frenchman that have lost their finger. You'll see them over there that, you know, the pigs will go for the truffle and they'll have them in their hand and that's it. Oh. So it's a little dangerous to have the pigs out there. But they're fun and we take them out, you know, to help us out when we're really stuck. The dogs just aren't doing it. And but they're good. They're good. Pigs are the best to have if you can manage them. They you know, they don't ride in the back of a pickup too well. So anyway, yeah.
I would assume, yeah, they would. You have to walk all the way from wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And do they just dig it up and eat it? Is that the problem?
They
or do they just
Use their snout and dig. You know, like they dig in the mud and things. Uh-huh. They just get really into it. And then it's in their mouth, and then you're trying to get it. And you're like, you're not going to win. You know, I haven't figured out how to win yet. So I'm sure there are many seasoned people over in Europe that know how to do it. You know, I see them, usually they have leads on them, and they're very, very trained. So, but they definitely know where the truffles are.
And definitely like to eat them.
Mm-hmm. They love to eat them.
Yeah. I have a question about the truffles again. When after you've harvested them, how do you store them? I mean, how long can they be stored, and can they be frozen or dried, or what do you do?
We like to overnight them as soon as they're harvested to chefs, okay, or where we have orders. Now, if we have extra truffles, a lot of times I'll freeze them to use for products. All right, you can freeze it up to a year. You just freeze it in a Ziploc, and that's it. You make sure there's not a lot of moisture in it. Usually, typically, truffles you can store in the refrigerator when they're fresh for 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. And it, when you see mold, okay, it's very much like cheese. When you see a little bit of mold, you want to wash it, and you know it's time to put it in the freezer, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does the texture change? You know, a lot of foods will
it
change
does.
In texture
it's
when you
like
put it.
It's corn. You know how corn changes from crispy to just a little wet. But the thing is, usually with truffles, you're not cooking them, you're blending them. Mm-hmm. So it keeps the flavor. And in fact, sometimes the frozen ones, it's intensified for some reason. Mm-hmm. I haven't figured that one out. So you still have the flavor. They're just a little mushy, but in mashed potatoes or something like that, or baked potato, they're wonderful too. Mm. They're absolutely delicious. You really can't tell the difference. Mm. I've had some people that couldn't tell the difference. I had Whole Foods out to do some demos. They couldn't tell the difference between the frozen and the ones that weren't frozen.
As we were talking about recipes a little while ago, I was thinking that cream of potato soup, the lovely potato soup, would be absolutely the perfect vehicle.
It is.
For truffles, or grated truffles over the top.
Mm-hmm. It is, because it's a starch, and somehow it just picks up all the truffle flavor. And if you had chunks of potatoes, you know, fresh potatoes, and we do make that a lot. You know, we've got recipes online for all of that. The thing is, when you're using the truffle, again, you don't want to use a lot of onions and things like that. You just want to use, you know, cook European. Like, if you get stuck, just look on the internet for some of the European recipes, because it's just cream and all natural ingredients. And if you do have any kind of stock, it's a very light stock. And you just blend that all together. You probably could get away with a little bit of bacon, and because the bacon doesn't take the taste away, it actually intensifies it.
Well, it's its own strong counterpoint.
Yeah, sometimes we'll do a truffle bacon, actually, and that's delicious.
You could sell that, I'm sure.
Exactly. So that is delicious.
That's nice. What's your favorite way to eat truffles? Is that like an impossible question?
One of my favorite ways really is on a baked potato. Yeah. It's just simple. What I'll do is I'll make my potatoes on the outside super crispy. I'll roll an Idaho potato in olive oil, and then I'll sprinkle garlic salt on it, actually. And then cook it for about an hour and a half till it's crispy on the outside. then open it, and then I'll put in truffle butter, truffle salt, truffle oil, and truffles. Yeah, and I'll actually have a glass of Burgundy or something with it. I actually like a red wine with it for some reason. Oh, it is so good.
After our delicious cup of tomato soup with shaved truffles and truffle oil, plus some truffled popcorn and more truffles, we all climbed into Susan's SUV for a driving tour of her 300-acre property, starting with a story of J.D., one of the local farmers.
J.D. Blue is a farmer here, and actually his family used to own the Taylor house that you just saw over the top, okay? And J.D.'s a little standoffish. You know, he's a farmer. He's probably, well, he says he's 60, so I'm sure he's 60. But the New York Times was out, did an interview, and he came. He's my best buddy now. And he told him he was 60, so he's 60. So anyway, I was supposed to meet him at the Taylor house because he wanted to know about truffles. And he's probably one of the smartest farmers in this area. Uh-huh. I mean, he has just got the greenest thumb there is. And I thought, you know, I've got to know this guy, you know. Yeah. And here I have the family house. So he came out and he said, and I was late. I'm always late. And he said, well, Susan, you know, you're late. I've already been here. And I said, well, I wanted to show you the trees. And, you know, they were tiny then. I said, I want to show you the trees and everything. I've been all around the property. I've seen it all. And he said, by the way, you gutted my family house, which I did, because we had to redo it. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I'm trying to redo the house. And he said, that's okay. I got to be on my way. He said, I'm not sure at all about these truffles. And I said, well, I said, J.D., do you know anything about truffles? And he said, I just know that they grow under the ground. And I said, yeah, they do. I said, you know how much money you make? And he said, no. And I said, about $1,500 a pound. He said, oh, okay, Missy, you want to get in my truck and we'll talk. So he said in the truck, he said, you know, I didn't want a partner, but we could be partners. So it was really cute. He was cute. Yeah. So anyway, that's JD, and he's my good buddy.
That's hilarious. And his farm is around here?
It is. You know, and anytime I have something going on with the trees that I don't know about and we can't figure out, JD will know what that is. Uh-huh. You know, he doesn't know about the truffles, but yeah. There's another piece of property that I purchased from his family that has this giant, giant pecan tree. It's unreal. And they told me that J.D. planted that when he was 5 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
He used to be a professional race car driver. Yeah, way back. Yeah, so he's something. And he does have a little stand over here, or shop over here by his house, and he sells produce all the time. So he has great stuff. So this is all just more land that we'll, you know, we plan to develop. Down here on the right is where we'll have really a big commercial kitchen for chefs that fly in and things like that as soon as the orchard is more developed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That'll be great.
And that's what we'll do, yeah. Right now we're just concentrating on getting all the trees planted, starting the harvest, getting the animals trained, and, getting people educated. So as the truffles come, you know, we have a good audience to sell to.
What are these starters?
Oh, those are starters. Those are some of the Burgundy trees. They were keeping root bound for a little bit to see what they do until we plant those. Mm-hmm. So some of the theory is that the longer you leave them in the pot, the more the roots will grow together, the more the mycorrhiza spreads. So,
we're trying to...
I don't see the little pig. Oh, there's the piggies.
Yeah, I see a piggy.
Yeah, there they are.
There you got some big piggies over there.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, we have to back up a little to see them, and now
they
are very big pigs.
Yep.
They're round, fat pigs.
Oh, here. That is really great.
Like a very large truffle.
Did you hear Janice say it looks like a very large
that
truffle?
That one's Charlie. Yeah.
Here,
that's Charlie and Miss Piggy.
Hold on a second. I want to take a picture of your piggies.
We're passing what I thought was a pond, but it's more like a lake.
Yeah, this is a lake, actually.
It's a beautiful lake.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
And it, we use this for irrigation when we have to. We have two other ponds on the property.
Yeah.
So we're pretty well set unless we have a drought. Then we can draw on this water. This water fills up in about, when it's emptied, fills up in about 30 days. So there's a lot of water that comes through.
Hmm. Wow. Is it underground? Like, where's the water coming?
The springs all flow into it.
Wow, you got a nice piece of property. It comes with water.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, because I kept saying, okay, well, where are the other houses for the lake? You know, where are they going to build those? And they said, no, you have that whole entire property.
Yeah, you would assume that this would be for a lot of, like a lot of houses could be built on here, and it would be beautiful.
You could, yeah, you really could.
It is gorgeous.
But I made my promise, so. So we're going to do truffles instead.
And then you just have this lovely space. It is. How big is this lake?
This is about 18 acres.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you didn't even have to make it. It was already here. Because, you know, a lot of times you have to make a pond.
They made it, though.
Oh, they did.
They actually did. And
you
now...
Crossed the dam. You drove past the dam.
Yeah, it has an earthen dam, so that has to be kept up or they could close it. Mm. Like, if we can't have any of the trees growing with the roots because it can weaken the dam.
Oh.
And then it could be dangerous. So earthen dams are no longer allowed. So that's grandfathered in as long as we keep it, you know, in good condition.
Huh.
Yeah. These trees are about 5 years old. And these were more root-bound trees. So some of the theory is behind it is you don't have big, beautiful trees when you have mycorrhizae on the root tips because it draws from the tree and it's not as big. So we'll see, you know, we test these and everything. I would say those would produce truffles and it looks to me about 5 years.
Oh.
Yeah. So
instead of the 7 year, it's will end up being 10.
Yeah. I think for those, it'll be 10
for those.
But I think they'll produce more truffle when it's 10 years.
Yeah.
Larger. Yeah. Because you've got a bigger root bulb and a bigger start like that. So I think that that's what's going to happen.
It's so wild back here in your property. It's great. I mean, you go from these really beautiful orchards, which are perfect. All the trees are spaced perfect, and they look beautiful. And then you have this gorgeous lake, and now you have all these woods.
Yes, you have the woods. And actually, a lot of that was wooded and had to be cleared. And so there was a lot of work with that.
That's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Did the property, you said the property had to be cleared to begin with. Did it all look like this? Was it all this wooded?
Some of it was farmland where they actually grew tobacco, which was good because the soil, with the tobacco growing on the soil, it helped with it in depleting some of the mycorrhizae and things like that. Your land has to be fallow for about 3 or 4 years, and you have to get your pH up to probably about a 7.5.
Huh.
Yeah, and typically our soil is about a 4.5 pH.
Yeah, that's difference.
Big difference. Yeah, it doesn't take much to do it though. Oh, I thought it was going to be a big deal.
It sounds
they
like
just
a
come
big
in and shock it. Yeah, they come in and they raise it. They raise it with lime. Then your pH goes right up.
Oh, well, so, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be a big, big, huge ordeal.
Mm-mm. No, and it pretty much stays like that. You just have to add a little now and then, but you can't use any fertilizers. It's organic. We keep it organic anyway, but, a lot of your, insecticides, pesticides, whatever will kill a fungus. So, So you really can't put anything on the land, which is good.
No, that's great. Then you have a really nice product.
Yeah, exactly.
We arrive back at the old tobacco barn. Get out of the SUV and start walking through the orchard to see up close just exactly where the truffles grow.
And where? We're walking through the trees. This is where I would have a dog look for sure. Because see the mushrooms here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the mushrooms show that, with the mycorrhizae on the root, there's probably truffles under there now. So
I think I'm in the wrong lake.
That will fruit and, that will fruit so we can harvest. So that's a good sign.
Okay, so the dogs and pigs will tell you.
Well, what they do is they just nose it. I mean, they just, like, how can I say it? Like, the dog will sniff and it'll just like that. Mm-hmm. And so you just know to dig there.
I see.
The pigs would root it.
they would actually dig the hole.
Because when they smell it, it could be the truffle is, you know, a few inches away or a foot away or whatever. And we don't know exactly where it is. So then we come out and we dig. I mean, you can skip a little bit. You might miss a truffle, but you can skip a little bit. Yeah. But they're going to be there anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you do skip a truffle and you don't find it the first year, it can continue to grow and then you can harvest it the next year?
No, it actually dies and then it comes back and grows the next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just during those months.
Stay over until the next year.
No. No.
Okay.
I wish they did.
I know, that would be great.
Yeah, here's one.
Giant-sized, grapefruit-sized.
Well, they did. They had one in Australia that was, I forget how many pounds. It was like, they size. I think they said the size of a basketball or something. I mean, it was just huge.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it grew.
That's what everybody's trying to figure out,
you know? It's like the big chase. It's like, okay, who's going to produce the fastest, biggest truffles in the least amount of time?
Right, right.
So there is that competition going on. But everybody, you know, Claire from out in Washington, Charles Lefevre out in Oregon, he's really PhD. He's a mycologist. He's done some of my trees. People like that, they're really well seasoned and have just done it all their life. Those are the people that we have fun. We might have a little competition, but we have fun.
Well, we had an absolutely marvelous time on this tour through the beautiful truffle orchards. And then we had a wonderful surprise when Susan invited us to her home for lunch. Pretty amazing lunch, wasn't it?
I already thought I had lunch.
So did I.
When I had the tomato soup and popcorn. So this was like an added bonus. I was not expecting at all. It was delicious. But we had so much audio and so much recording that we're going to just talk about it.
Yes, we are.
So we went to her house.
Her beautiful house.
Yes, which was... probably, I'm not even sure how far away, 15 minutes it was away from her orchard.
15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. And we started, when we got there, with a little cheese plate. Mm-hmm. And
Melody and Teresa were there in the kitchen.
Yep, those are.
And they were helping prepare this for us.
It was great. I felt already so spoiled.
I did too.
So, but she had shaved truffles on the cheese.
Yes, yeah, a beautiful cheese plate. There were about five different cheeses on there, and they were delicious.
And nuts.
And nuts that she had. She had poured some truffle oil over the nuts, very lightly tossed the truffle oil with the nuts, and it was delicious.
It was. It was really good. And then we moved on. I can't even remember. Yeah, we moved on to learning about the infused eggs, which was fascinating for me. Yeah. I've never done that, thought about it. Mm-hmm. So why don't you explain?
Okay. She had a bowl with about 6 or 7 eggs, I would say, about maybe 6 eggs.
Raw eggs.
Raw eggs in the bowl. And in the bowl, there was a plastic bag that was open, and it had about 4 or 5 small, very small truffles in that bag. And she had stored them like that with the idea that the eggs would absorb the flavor of the truffles. And she was actually experimenting because she hadn't done it before.
But she said that they had been doing this in Europe.
Yes, they'd been doing it in Europe.
For years.
Yes, and so because the eggshell is porous, then the eggs would taste like the truffles. And then she scrambled the eggs. She put no salt, no milk or water or anything, just the eggs in a
with a little olive oil.
Little olive oil, yeah. In a nonstick pan. And she made the scrambled eggs and we tasted them. Sure enough, they tasted like the truffle. Very subtle but lovely.
Well, also, those were small, like the size of dime, or maybe a little bit bigger.
Maybe the size of a blackberry.
Yeah.
Kind of. Maybe that size.
Yeah, and they were Italian truffles.
Yes, they were.
So they were a little different.
Yes,
they had a lighter flavor. I thought they did.
I did,
had
too,
a lighter
yes.
flavor than her black.
Mm-hmm. And her black diamonds.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
But it tasted like truffles.
It did. very subtle and just absolutely lovely. We didn't put any salt on them or pepper or anything. It was just eggs.
Yeah, and she said that, you know, you really need to have them in there for like 3 to 5 days is what she said.
Yes, that's what she said.
So the truffles mm-hmm. with the raw eggs mm-hmm. to get the flavor. And it was delicious and it was very simple.
And we thought that was lunch.
I thought the soup was lunch.
So did I. Then when we got to her house and she did the scrambled eggs, I went, lunch.
Yeah. But so we had the eggs and then we topped it with more truffle oil.
Yes. She said, oh, pour this over.
And the salt. She has a truffle salt and pepper mix. Mm-hmm. And we put that on the top, and that was delicious. So we had the scrambled eggs, and then we moved on to more food. So we went into her dining room.
It was all set and beautiful.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Beautiful, yes.
And she had... what would you call it? Like a tomato basil mozzarella salad.
Yes.
Stacked on top salad. Of
the tomatoes in the bottom, and then she had the whole basil leaves, beautiful basil leaves, perfect. And then the mozzarella cheese on the top, and on top of that, she suggested that we pour another of her products, which is the truffle balsamic vinegar glaze mm-hmm. over the top of the mozzarella cheese. It was fabulous.
It was fabulous, and I love balsamic vinegar. I mean, I just will drink balsamic vinegar. This was the really good Italian, she gets it from an Italian maker, and it's a thick, syrupy balsamic that's sweet, and then you have the truffles. It was really very good.
It was amazing.
It was really good. So we had that I kept drizzling more and more. She's probably like, how much vinegar can this woman put on her? But it was delicious, so I just kept putting it on there and eating more and more.
And I want to go back again, because we started out in the kitchen with the scrambled eggs, and she poured us each a glass of wine, and it was very delicious wine. And then we went into the dining room, and she had a different glass. And the wine that she poured in the dining room was a Sancerre wine. It was French. And it was 13% alcohol and was absolutely delicious. One of the best white wines I have ever had.
Yes, I could tell you were enjoying your wine.
I am not the biggest white wine fan, but it was superb.
Yes, it was.
It truly was excellent.
It really was good. And then we weren't done yet.
I know.
So we went back into the kitchen, and I guess she's very well known, and you can buy on her website these oozing, she calls them oozing sexy or something, grilled cheese.
Yes.
And it's delicious, you know, artisan looking mm-hmm. breads with what kind of cheese?
Well, there were three different cheeses, and I have to tell you, I'm not really sure. I think one of them was mozzarella. It melted beautifully when she was doing it. The cheese literally oozed out between the two pieces of bread when she was making them. We watched her make them in the kitchen.
Yeah, but she had sliced truffles.
Slices.
So there was bread, cheese, sliced truffles, cheese, bread.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. all okay. smashed together and right. grilled and oozing everywhere. And she served that with French fries. It's just so funny because truffles are so kind of elite, you know. It's this fancy food that you pay a fortune for. And we're having grilled cheese and French fries, yes. which I really loved because it makes it much more approachable. For people, mm-hmm, you know, like mm-hmm. the idea, and she said, you know, the idea is just to enjoy the truffle and not make it something that is so out of your reach.
Right, so scrambled eggs and grilled cheese sandwiches.
And French fries.
And French fries.
And the French fries had her truffle salt and pepper on yes. as well.
Yes.
And, you know, we're getting to this point where I could not eat as much food. And you actually took out your truffles.
I did. I was at the end and I was really full. But I opened the second half of the sandwich and ate the truffles out of
yes.
the middle.
I loved it.
I mean, truffles. I mean, you couldn't pass up a single tiny little crumb of truffles. You have to just indulge in all that you can get when it's there.
Yeah, it was really very tasty. And, you know, it's funny because I don't normally eat dairy or gluten, but right. I made an exception for the truffle day because, I mean, it was delicious and such a treat.
Oh.
And Susan was so hospitable that I really wanted to just try everything and experience it all. And
she's fun and funny and interesting and told about her adventures and doing all these things. And we were fascinated by the entire day. It was wonderful.
It was fun to, like, crack open the egg and you could already smell the truffle before you did anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what also was interesting is when you cooked it, it sort of lost its odor.
Mm-hmm. It did.
Yeah, because truffles don't like to be cooked. They like to be blended into things or
shaved on top.
Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting little experiment as well that I really hadn't done. But we weren't done yet.
No, that's true. And more wine. She served
more wine.
A red wine with the... I kept going back to that white wine because it was...
Yeah, she loved it.
But the red wine was good, too.
And then for dessert, we had a brownie and coffee served. And the brownie was just... She said even, like, she just went and bought the brownie. She didn't even make the brownies, which I thought was another, you know... Just don't make it so difficult.
Right.
But so she sliced them horizontally through the brownie and just drizzled her truffle oil on the inside and then put them back together. And when you looked at it, at first I thought she had put some kind of a jam or jelly filling kind of thing in it because the brownie had gotten wet and moist and it looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she hadn't. So...
It was as simple as just the oil.
And that's it. And then, of course, I poured on more balsamic glaze.
Yes.
Because why not? We had a jam-packed day, far exceeded our expectations. Thanks so much to Susan Alexander and her great team there for all of her time and generosity with sharing her truffles. Her website is www.susanalexander-truffles.com. She also has a kiosk set up at South Point Mall here in Durham, if you're local, right by Santa, so you can go get some of her treats, great Christmas gifts. And we had so much great footage that we couldn't put it in this 1 hour. We have some video clips behind the scenes that you can look at on our website, which is www.yestothechef.com. And if you go to the video page, you'll find it there. So we hope you join us again next week at WCOM at 11 o'clock for Say Yes to the Chef. Happy cooking, Janice.
Happy cooking, Kelly.